The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
We want to play a little bit from our Culture Club, which we had a couple of weeks ago with the producer of the multi-award winning at the Oscar, Poor Things. Let's hear a little bit about Ed Gainey and the vision that he had to produce Poor Things.
Yorgos first mentioned it to us, I guess, around the time of The Lobster, maybe just after we...
This is the director.
Yeah, Yorgos Lanthimos, with whom we've now made 5 movies. We've shot another one that's about to come out or come out later this year. But he said he'd read this book. He'd met Alistair Gray, the novelist of Poor Things, and that he wanted to make a movie out of it. And Andrew Lowe, my partner, and I and some of our colleagues read the book. And as you're right to say, it's mad. It is mad. But I suppose very often the way we think about things is in terms of the person rather than the specific project. And we at that point were kind of... we'd worked with Yorgos, loved working with him, knew that he was a brilliant filmmaker. And so the fact that he wanted to do it was enough for us to kind of say, well, let's just try, let's get on with it. And, you know, when you commit to something like that, you don't necessarily know how you're going to get there. You don't know how you're actually going to realise it and get the thing made. And I suppose it was by, you know, making a bunch of movies with Yorgos, significantly The Favourite, which also got a bunch of Oscar nominations.
Which I'd say I rewatched again recently and it stands up as brilliantly the second time around. Fantastic performances and just really funny.
Good, good. No, and so it was the success of that and the fact that Yorgos and Emma met on that film and formed this kind of collaboration and this partnership. And so then after The Favourite, Yorgos mentioned to her that he wanted to make Poor Things. She put her hand up for it. And it was really sort of those two things that meant that we could make it, because it's not a cheap movie and by far the biggest thing we've done.
And he wasn't as confident as I was that Emma Stone would win the Best Actress, but she did. We have Elaine Burke and Joe Shea with us, but this is slightly off our TV and streaming topic. I was just asking you, did you enjoy Poor Things, which I loved? And you started telling me that, like many movies, it was too long.
It was too long. Yeah, I think most of the... like Best Picture nominees this year could have been half an hour shorter and just as good. And I also had other problems with Poor Things where it was really, really overly hyped by the time I went to see it. And I think I had really high expectations. There was all this talk about being this incredibly feminist movie. And I was like, yeah, feminism through a male gaze and a male lens.
Ooh.
Is what I would say. And like Emma Stone's performance is very strong, but someone, my partner who was with me, commented that it was like, the Lulu character from Harry Enfield and Chums, and that's all I could see then for the rest of the film.
Well, I didn't have that reference and I loved it. I thought it was one of my favourite movies. Joe, these various Oscar nomination movies, where can you get to see them if you haven't already seen them?
Well, there's quite a lot of them online and available now, as you'd expect. So American Fiction is on Prime Video. Anatomy of a Fall, I think, is still on a few different platforms, actually, including Apple TV and Google Play. Barbie is still in cinemas, a lot of cinemas, actually, but you can also watch that on Apple TV Play. The Holdovers, which has kind of got a movie that got a lot of love, but kind of got a little bit kind of lost in all of the in the Oppenheimer kind of thing. That's also available on Apple TV and Google Play and Microsoft. And Killers of the Flower Moon, that's on Apple TV as well. So, you know, most of them, if not all of them, are still available. And a lot of them are on Apple TV, because Apple TV, of course, have this thing where you can rent or buy a movie as well. So Oppenheimer, for instance, is on there. And I think to rent that at the moment, I think it's $8.99. So not a bad deal, you know, if you want to watch it.
Yeah, I think a lot of these would be on Sky Movies as well.
Yeah,
again, sometimes to rent or whatever. And Poor Things, which we mentioned, is available on Disney Plus.
Disney Plus, yeah.
And The Zone of Interest, again, as you say, on Apple TV. Okay, let's hear a little bit of the host of last night's Oscars, which I think, Joe, is the truth to say, is it on the telly tonight on RT to watch?
Yeah, it's on 9:30 tonight, the highlights. It's actually a really good way to watch it, I think, because they'll get rid of a lot of the guff and they'll give you all the highlights. So it's 9:30 RT2 tonight.
Okay, but isn't the problem, Elaine, for a lot of people, that they've already seen all the clips? This is what has changed the Oscars. If you don't watch it live, by the time you get to the highlight show, you've seen every highlight.
I have seen lots of highlights all day today circulating on social media, but I'm going to tune in tonight because I haven't seen the full performance of Ryan Gosling doing I'm Just Ken, and that looks worth my time from the clips that I have seen. So I'm tuning in just to see that. Slash turns up to do a guitar solo and everything. It looks fantastic.
Okay, well, let's get some of Jimmy Kimmel's opening monologue at the Oscars last night.
Barbie was a monster hit. What a thing. What an achievement. to take a plastic doll nobody even liked anymore. I mean, my wife, before this movie, you'd have had a better chance of getting my wife to buy our daughter a pack of Marlboro Reds than a Barbie doll. Now Barbie's a feminist icon thanks to Greta Gerwig, who many believe deserved to be nominated for Best Director. I know you're clapping, but you're the ones who didn't vote for her, by the way. Don't act like you had nothing to do with this. And then we have the other major box office winner this year. Oppenheimer, directed by the great Christopher Nolan. Christopher is joined by his longtime collaborator, Cillian Murphy, who is just wonderful. Cillian is... Interesting fact about his name, it's pronounced Cillian when he does drama. When he does comedy, it's Cillian. The second most nominated movie of the year is Poor Things, directed by Yorgos Lanthimos. There he is. Not only is Yorgos nominated for Best Director, his editor, whose name is also Yorgos, Yorgos Mavropsaridis, is nominated too. We have two Yorgoses in the house tonight. Will they both win? Your ghost is as good as mine.
Was Ricky Gervais not available, Joe?
Yeah, and you know what? And I know he kind of he also had a go off Yorgos Lanthimos' name or made a joke of that. But it's this thing of Americans, of Yanks making fun of Irish names is getting a bit tired now. If we've had like 10 years of Saoirse Ronan having to put up with it and actually having to do an entire skit on Saturday Night Live when she hosted it about people making fun of her name. So it was kind of like, oh, God, really? Are you going to make fun of Cillian Murphy? He's the best actor. He's going to win it, you know?
Okay, so let's hear a little bit, though, as well, of Kimmel reading out a review of his monologue by Donald Trump.
I'm really proud of something. I was wondering if I could share it with you. I just got a review, and has there ever been a worse host than Jimmy Kimmel at the Oscars? His opening was that of a less-than-average person trying too hard to be something which he is not and never can be. Get rid of Kimmel and perhaps replace him with another washed-up but cheap ABC talent, George Slopanopoulos. He would make everybody on stage look bigger, stronger, and more glamorous. Blah, blah, blah. Make America great again. Okay, now, see if you can guess which former president just posted that on Truth Social. Anyone? No? Well, thank you, President Trump. Thank you for watching. I'm surprised you're still... Isn't it past your jail time?
Okay. Joe.
Oh, that was a good line about past your jail time.
Yeah, that is. But up to then, like, maybe Trump was right.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. It's funny how they actually played the. I saw some clips yesterday from 1974 with David Niven presenting, and God, you know, there's such class and charm and dignity. And it's just recently, it's become this sort of like it has to. Everything has to be a laugh, and everything has to be, and they have to take the Mickey out of everybody. You know, and then John Cena, the wrestler, running across this, or kind of walking across the stage naked and stuff. It's just become. It's played for laughs all of the time. I think it's very disrespectful to the people getting the awards. John Cena was out there naked because the gag was he was presenting the best costume, you know, winner, which I think went to Poor Thing, actually, the costume designer and that. And that was really disrespectful. I mean, like, you know, the biggest moment of our life, and they've got a wrestler out there naked making jokes about that. It's, I don't know. I wasn't mad about that.
Okay. We better get to... Oh, yeah, just before we get to Picks of the Week, Elaine, tell us about the first Celebrity Big Brother evictee. It wasn't Louis Walsh.
No. Louis Walsh is doing what you guys expected him to do in there, him and Sharon just gossiping away.
He's going to win it, probably, isn't he?
Oh, I don't know. People don't seem to... The young people seem to be voting against the older people, and the older people are voting against the younger people. And the older people are misbehaving more than the younger people from the little bit that I've seen as well. But the first evictee is Gary Goldsmith, who is Kate Middleton's uncle, which...
Oh, so another member of the family is going missing.
This is really funny, because the timing of this eviction, it's like, why can he not be in there spilling spilling the tea while we're all speculating about what's happening.
He's going to have to try and help find her, maybe.
To find her, yeah.
Like, he doesn't, like, he will know by now of the events of Mother's Day and the photo that has been photoshopped and removed from various services. But, I mean, I think that's why he was in there. People wanted him to gossip about Kate Middleton, but he kind of was a bit more reserved. He said himself, I could have been more gregarious, because that's what you were in for. Gary Goldsmith, they wanted you to be gossiping about the royal family. And really, he was just lapping up the gossip from the likes of Louis and Sharon, who were very loose-lipped about the various celebrities that they do not like and not afraid to say it.
Okay, what's your pick of the week, Joe?
I think Apple TV is actually just making shows for me at this stage, because as it was one historical epic comes towards an end, which is Masters of the Year. They're starting a new one on Friday called
Sorry,
Man
did Masters
Hunt,
of the Year live up to your expectations?
Yeah, I've not everybody's liked it. I've liked it a lot, okay. And I will go back and watch it again. I think it's magnificent.
Okay, so tell what's Manhunt?
Manhunt is, it's based on a New York Times bestseller, the story of the Lincoln assassination at the end of the American Civil War, and more specifically what happened afterwards when they were searching for John Wilkes Booth, this actor, almost like a jokey kind of actor, least successful actor in his family, who assassinated the president just, you know, a month or so after the American Civil War ended. And this looks amazing. It's a seven-parter. It's actually got a Belfast-born Anthony Boyle, who was in Masters of the Air and one of the breakout stars in Masters of the Air. He's playing John Wilkes Booth, and there's Tobias Menzies, the English actor, is playing the guy who's charged with Edwin Stanton, okay, who's charged with finding Wilkes Booth at the end. This looks incredible. It's called Manhunt, starting on Apple TV on Friday.
Okay, I'm going to give that a try. What do you got for us, Elaine?
Extraordinary Season 2 is on Disney Plus. Let's keep celebrating Cork talent, because Mairead Tears is from Cork and she's in the lead in that show. Season 1 was excellent. It's a superhero show, but with a twist. It's none of this Marvel Cinematic Universe stuff. It's gritty. It's got a lot more realism to it and surrealism, and it's definitely not for kids, so don't get confused by superheroes and thinking this is a family comedy. It's adult comedy.
Elaine Burke, Joe Shea, thank you. Back
The Last Word with Matt Cooper, weekdays from 4:30. Today